Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. My head is dry for teaching. You know, at times when it is preaching, you'll be so anointed. When it's teaching, the dew settles gradually. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I want to start from 11, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, enter into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So what Jesus obtained for us is eternal redemption. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to do service to the living God?
Amen.
Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, there is no way we can serve the living God by ourselves. We must be exposed to the ministry of the blood. If the blood ain't working, there won't be the service God wants. If the blood of Jesus is not being sprinkled on us, we will not do service well. The living God is a spirit. Like I used to say, that to serve government, serve kingdoms, you need to be trained. It's not just anyhow people that do service, very, very high service to nations. And if our God is the Most High, to serve him, we must be trained. Those who serve God must be trained to serve him well, acceptably. Let's see, Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 12, is still service. Serving God well. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bishop, you are the one who provoked this direction. Amen.
Amen.
Shout hallelujah. One of the themes, let's see, verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Master Shea,
yes, sir.
I want to say something before I continue. Look at me, sir. If you give me 20 minutes, I will do 20 minutes. I can do it. I can do all things. Through Christ that strengthens me.
If, Pastor, I'm not going to be tired. 1 hour, 2 hours.
If you give me 5 minutes, I'm ready to do it. I am under you here.
No.
I'm just saying this for people to learn. We must obey order. I am submissive to you when I come to your church, sir. Praise the Lord. Is that understood, sir? No, I can do it. There is no how. He calls the shots here. Hallelujah. Even though, if he says, even if I am led by the Spirit will be quiet when you have said so. Please let me appreciate him. Everyone else. Are we here? Now, I want to route priesthood today with this. This is going to be the gate for me That's why I say I'm thanking Bishop Elijah, because all that you were doing for us was admonishing us to serve God. And you know there is no service without sacrifice. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
Now, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. You see that we can't serve God without we having grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is pregnant. You need to be a student of the scripture to fully break this word. Now, you cannot serve God without fear. You can't serve God acceptably when fear is absent. It's called godly fear. Now, I love the word acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I told us that we are serving God for one purpose. Sorry. We are serving God because of the kingdom. We need to receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Amen. Before we can receive this kingdom, it can't come to us except by service. You can't have this kingdom. Like you said, he said you can be a prince, but you may never be a king. You can be a prince, but you may never be a king. Princes are potential kings. A king is a manifestation of a prince. A full-blown prince is a king. One who is using his princely right. We have a kingdom. We have a kingdom which we must receive. I'm not the one who said that here. We receiving a kingdom. That tells us, even though scriptures have said we have been translated into the kingdom of God, and you stay there, and you say, this does not matter. You are breaking scripture. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need to bring all scriptures together. All scriptures must align. Don't take one and leave one. Or leave the rest. At times we take scriptures out of context. The Bible is one. We should resolve the scripture as one mind. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that is skill in the spirit. Without you serving God, you may not end up receiving the kingdom. Potentially, you have potentially you may have the kingdom, but you are not using the kingdom. We receiving a kingdom. You see, this kingdom is a priestly kingdom. We can't operate this dominion, this type of dominion is not worldly. The sense of dominion that is common, is coming, that is being preached, is coming from a carnal mind. The dominion of God can only be understood by revelation. The issue of dominion is not clear, except it's explained
and is taught by the owner of the dominion. How do I? Let's align words here. Let's see verse 24. And to Jesus, or let's see 23 or 22. Let's see 22 or 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Are you ready? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Unto the city of the living God. Thank you. Unto heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. Next one. To the general assembly. Mount Zion is the general assembly. It's the assembly of all creation. Everybody is present at Zion, both angels and men. The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Can we go further? Now we have also come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. We have also come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Now, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. After he said, the blood speak. He said, don't refuse him that speaketh. As long as the blood is speaking, Jesus is speaking. For if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth? There was a time this same person spoke on earth. Remember in the Old Testament, it was the rock which followeth them in the wilderness. Everybody shout hallelujah. Now this church, hallelujah, in their fathers were Jews in the natural. Their own parents were the first church in the flesh. And they had experience with God being led in the wilderness to Mount Sinai. That first church came to Sinai. Am I communicating to you? This church is coming to Zion. So Paul was admonishing the new Hebrew Christians, or the Hebrew Christians under the new covenant, that they have come unto Mount Zion and they should not refuse him that is speaking. For if they escape not him who refused that spake on it, much more shall not we escape. He's talking about we. Put yourself here. We will not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth in the Old Testament? But now he had promised, saying yet once more, I set not only earth, but also heaven. Then the next verse. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken, and also of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The Old Testament never did it well. Now, the Old Testament that shook the earth was the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. But right now, the blood of Jesus has ability to shake both heavens and the earth and to make us access a kingdom which cannot be moved. Yet once more signify it. Let's see that verse 27. And this word yet once more signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There are certain things that will not go, and they are right. But the things that ought to go will go by the voice of the blood. So he said, And this word, then the next verse. Let's see the next verse. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God, look at it, sir, is a consuming fire. The kingdom is our God. The kingdom is our God. The kingdom is our God. Pastor, not so, sir. And the duty of the high priest is to make you get our God. Let's see Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. It's for God's purpose. In things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So it's clear, an high priest takes you to God. Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not hearing you say amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's see Hebrews chapter 7. Are we there in Hebrews 7? Let me get 22. By so was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. But this man, amen. Wherefore he is able also to serve them to the uttermost. The uttermost here is where God is, Pastor, also, which is the Holy of Holies. That's the final. Hallelujah. The holiest of all is actually the tabernacle of God. That's the holiest of all. Is the tabernacle of God. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Everybody shout hallelujah. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, undefiled, separate from sinner, made higher than the heavens. Let's see. Who needed no daily sacrifice? Those high priests, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Everybody say amen. Amen. I'm not hearing you shout hallelujah. Let me read from 19 again. Hallelujah. Can we read? All of us, can we read together? Let's read together. For the law made nothing perfect. Are you seeing it, sir? The first testament made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a whole deed by the which we draw near. Is there any way you can change this? It means we gradually come to God, even though you are a child of God. There's an aspect of us that need to learn how to come to God. That is why the blood was provided, for the purging of the conscience. By the which we draw near unto God. Let's see verse 21. Let's see 22. There is a place I'm looking for. 23. 24. 25. This is it. Can we all read 25? Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost, that what? Seeing what, sir? To make what, sir? So you need a very powerful priest to make you come to God. This is not talking to unbeliever. It's talking to the church. I want to let you know, this Hebrew church, where they have gotten to, I'm not sure any church on earth right now had gotten there. This Hebrew church, they are not an ordinary church. But yet, with all their journey in the spirit, they still want to draw back. Let's open chapter 10 of Hebrew. Let's see 35. Thank you, Pastor. For the law, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had a great recompense of reward. You said reward. It's clear the reward is the throne. Hallelujah. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Can I ask you one question, all of us? Can you tell me what did God promise children of God? Christian, what is our promise? There's what is called the promise. What is the promise? There are promises, but there is the promise. Who can tell me? Eternal life. What is the promise? You're not saying it. What is the promise? He said this is the promise. He has promised us even eternal life, that you might receive the promise. Sir, this will humble Christians. We need to be humble. We need to be meek because of this statement. So that we will fear God and do service well. If the promise is eternal life, and Jesus prayed that you have given me power to give all flesh eternal life, and he said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou art sent. So the promise is God himself. He is the promise. God is not going to reward us with the created. Anything that comes from his hand is what is uncreated. He is giving us himself, which is the greatest. Somebody who makes the galaxies, who made the heavens, and he said, come and receive me. And you said, no, I don't want you. I want your things. And the reason for Jesus' ordination for priesthood is to bring us to this promise. And he said, this is the promise, even life eternal. Jesus is ever living and interceding for us to bring us to God. Those who will come to God by him. It's not every child of God that is willing to come to God because of the price. To know God, for you to know God is a great thing. Knowing God is the highest thing a man can ever achieve. You can agree with me. Why will Paul counted all things but dung? Is for to know. He said, for the excellent knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
Of course, There is knowledge of God or knowledge of Jesus Christ, but there's what is called excellent knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has known Christ. Paul was asking for to know God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Nobody will know God and he will never be, he will cease to be a priest. There is no way you will know God and you are not a priest. That is why Melchizedek is called the priest of the most high God. I'm not hearing you. Who is Melchizedek? Shout it again, every one of us. Who is Melchizedek? All of you are not shouting. Is there any problem? Or you don't want to know God? Amen. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's see. This is awesome. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the most high God. That is his name. Is the priest of the most high God. I love this because this is a terrible wisdom. This is an order, Pastor. This is an order. The first name is Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. Second one, King of Peace. And his last title is that he is the priest of the Most High God. Telling me that I can never be the priest of the Most High God, except I am first of all a king of righteousness and a king of peace, then a priest of the Most High God. It's the order of the kingdom God wants to give. Everybody shout hallelujah. Sir, and this kingdom is himself. Do you agree with me? For the kingdom of God, can we say it together? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it, sir? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where, sir? Now, that will show me the path of life, for in thy presence. So, when Jesus became an high priest, he appeared in the presence of God for us. To come into God's presence is to land in joy. Joy is higher than peace. Peace is greater than righteousness. King of righteousness, king of peace, priest of the Most High God, meaning a son of joy. No wonder, Epistle of John, he was writing it so that your joy, he was talking about presence. You coming into the fellowship with God. Is not everyone that has arrived there. And I can tell you, Jesus is serious about this. He's interceding that we will come there. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sir, I want to thank you, sir. You helped me. Know that you have taught us practical means, attitude of a person that will be granted this honor. When you don't know how to lose your life, you don't have the capacity to know God. Everybody shout hallelujah. When you are not ready to lay count all for done, you won't come into the excellent knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As of the time Paul wrote in Philippians, he has known Jesus. But he's still crying again that I may know him. He still wants to know him. What does he? Why is he looking for knowing him? Because he knew that by knowing him, he will attain the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is the high order of the high priest. So where Jesus is taking us to is to bring us into the holiest of all. I am teaching something tonight. Very easy. You can pray and you are not in the holy place. In the Old Testament, there are priests who uses censer, and they can pray from the outer court. The argument of the children of Levi, are you getting me? Korah and his rest, was that they too has right. We have come. So what do you mean, Aaron? Is it because Aaron is your brother? It has become a family thing. He said, why are you arguing with me? And then Moses cried to God, and God said, I will deal with these people today to let them know that you don't come until I call. You can't come to me until I call you. That is why it is not of him that will it. That is New Testament. It is not on him that run it. It is of God. That what, sir? If mercy has not been granted, you can't come. They are priests. They are children of Abraham. That's why you see, when people are not doing these things and they are not following this order, don't laugh at them. Have compassion and pray for them. Because you have just been called. When I mean calling, I'm not just talking about the written call. I'm talking about the voice of the blood. When you begin to hear his voice, harden not your heart. Opportunity is granted to everyone to come, to draw near through this better hope. And God said to them, okay, take their staffs, put it in the holy place to let them know who is permitted to come near. To come. Of course, we all knew Aaron's rod passed the test. It budded, it brought forth flower, it blossomed and brought forth almond fruit. And God said, this is the man that I have called to come into my presence once in a year. It's even once in a year. I gave him once in a year, and you are saying you can just do it anyhow. To let you know that my presence is not a joke. Jesus had appeared for us in the presence of God. But I would like you to know, it's not all of us that are in God's presence yet. We are his children. Look at me. I said we are his children. A lot of, please, I hope I'm not getting people angry here. I said we are not yet where? In his presence. Thank you, Daddy. We are not there yet. To be in his presence is to pierce the veil, which is Jesus' flesh. It's a different veil. Not the veil, the one you're talking about is a different veil. But there is another veil that we must go through. Open to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see it, sir. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Pastor, they've not entered. By the time he was talking to them, they have not entered. None of them have entered. But Paul is admonishing the church to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See how you will enter. Now, entrance into the holiest is beyond just the ritual of prayer. It's a calling of an abode in the holiest of all. So, God is calling the church, come into the holiest. As of this time, Hebrew church had not become, they had not graduated into the holiest. It's by a new and a living way which he had consecrated for us. Through the veil, there is a veil here, that is to say, his flesh. The former veils were clothing, badger skin. But this is Jesus' flesh. Now, this veil is the body of the resurrected Christ that passes through the wall. It's a body that travels the heaven. How do I pass through an invisible body? that can appear at the same time as visible. It's a very, very perfect body. So the body that keeps the holiest of all is a glorified body. And Paul is saying we can enter. Through the blood, we pass through his flesh to appear in the presence of God. How do I do it? Let's see the next verse. Having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. He's talking to you again. Twice near. You can come near. Let us draw near with a true heart. So if I have not attained a true heart, I can't draw near. And what makes the true heart is a heart that is full of the assurance of faith. Having our hearts, this is awesome, sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Anyone who have entered the holiest got his body, Pastor, and his heart has been, the body has been washed, the conscience or the heart has been sprinkled. You can't enter the presence of God without the sprinkling of the blood. Sir, washing of the water was what the church did from Romans to Philemon. Is the water of the word that washes the body of the church. They had been subject to the washing of the water by the word for years. And they stayed there and they got to a place where they need to move further. To move into the ministry of the blood. They had obeyed the water of the word. And a time came, they need to receive the sprinkling of the blood for entrance into the most holy place. Open to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sure scripture should be moving. Scripture should be talking to you. You see Old Testament patterns. They sprinkle priest alone from the people. They first of all sprinkle the people. Later on they sprinkle the priest. Just to serve the tabernacle. You can see that the sprinkling of the priest is higher. Because they will come nearer. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through the separation of your spirit by the Holy Spirit, that is new birth. The reason why we are born again is to obey unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. So we are born again to obey and then to be sprinkled upon. Everybody shout hallelujah. In other words, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So, when I am born again, I am now qualified to obey. Yes. I didn't get born again by obeying God. I got born again by believing. You can never obey God. Especially at the New Testament demand. For the new covenant purpose, except you are regenerated in your spirit. If the spirit is not regenerated, the remaining dimension of your personality cannot do obedience. Obedience is a very high thing, sir. Now, Jesus without sin, and he was a son, even though he was a son, he still obeyed. Not talk less about babies in Christ Jesus. And you think you're already perfect. You were perfect somewhere, but you are not yet perfect. there is obedience that must be done, and then we'll be sprinkled upon to finish service, to accomplish service, and to perfect service. If we are not accomplishing service and perfecting service, there is no way we'll be rewarded with the regalia or the garment of the priesthood. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
Everybody echo hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is a very powerful evidence. Unto obedience. Go and check it out when you get home. And sprinkling of the blood. Now this is an Old Testament pattern that is happening. When the people were brought under Mount Sinai, and God spake all the words and the precepts and the judgment, God told Moses, write everything that I have spoken in a book. It's not yet a covenant, it's just a testimony. Now I want to make covenant with them. I have spoken the testament, but I need to cut it as a pact with them. And God showed Moses the manner with which it will be done. He said, build an altar under the mountain. Are you getting me? Take bulls. Take goat. Kill it. Put it in a basin. Take half of the blood. Sprinkle the altar. Then another one. Am I communicating with you? Another blood. That same blood. Then sprinkle the people. And the book. Then enjoin them to the testament. That became the covenant he made with them. God made covenant with them. We can be under the New Testament and don't know the New Testament. The things you are saying, Daddy, that some people as minister do something different is because they lack knowledge of the testimony. Why? They are not yet priests. Because in the priestly mouth is the law of God. If from the mouth of the priest is the knowledge of the holy. You have to. Let's see. Malachi, please. Let's see Malachi. Law of Levi. Malachi chapter 3. Or chapter 2? Thank you. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi. Yeah. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. For his messenger of the Lord of hosts. Let's see verse 6. Or let's see verse 6. Verse 6. For the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lip. He walked with me in peace and equity, and he turned many away from iniquity. That's the power of a priest. A true priest should turn heart from iniquity. Let's see verse 5. If I'm right. Okay. Verse 5. My covenant, okay, let's see 4 to explain it better. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that you, my covenant might be with Levi, here the Lord of hosts. Then the next verse, let's see. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him, for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. So I gave him the covenant of life and peace. This life and peace is also regenerated in the New Testament at a high level. After the order of Christ. Romans chapter 8. Let's see it. It's there. The time is almost through, sir. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. No. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. They have eliminated this verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Hallelujah. Why would somebody do that kind of wickedness? You shouldn't do this. Who walk not after the flesh, but what, sir? After the spirit. Say amen.
Amen.
For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, for what the law could not do, him that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what, sir? All of you shout hallelujah. Say, it's what? Have you seen the covenant of life and peace? Now, if I am not minding spiritual things, I will not have life and peace. Life here is righteousness. Please look at it. Life is righteousness. In verse 10, is it for the spirit? Is it for the flesh? Is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So life is righteousness. So righteousness and peace. It still talks about the order of Melchizedek. So when I am walking, I am going towards tabernacle. I am going towards my destiny. I am going to God when I am operating the New Testament law. Why we walk, sir? We walk for to live. I can have life and I may not be living. I can be alive in my spirit and yet I am not living. That's why let's see verse 11 chapter. Let's see this verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, him that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. Now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. It's possible as a Christian to live in the flesh, to live after the flesh. It's possible. Therefore, we brethren, now verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You Christian, you will die. It's not physical death, it's spiritual death. You will be separated. You shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So you can see the purpose of leading is for to live. Not to live. So when the Spirit of God is upon you and leading you, everybody shout hallelujah. He's leading you in the path of life. You will live. And when you are living, you are not dying. So a priest is he who is living the life, are you getting me, of righteousness that has been blessed, God has given to his spirit. Translating the life is a different ball game. You need to understand the commandment of that testimony. I can see a lot of vast ignorance of the New Testament. Without the Holy Ghost, we will not live a successful Christian life. So the reason for the infilling of the Holy Ghost is beyond just for miracles and speaking in tongues. I can do miracle and yet I'm a devil. Because he that doeth evil is born of the devil. He's not talking about your spirit. That if you train your soul with evil, it will be evil. But for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's see, how will the Spirit lead me? I want to come to Bishop's message. For you receive not the spirit of bondage to fear. We fear. This fear is not torment in the night. They are coming to kill me. That's not fear. The scripture is explaining here. Here is the fear not to lose your life. But you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 7:16. For spirit says, bear witness that spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. He so be that we suffer. If we suffer. I say, if we suffer. I say, if we suffer. Hello, can we read that together? Say it again. With him, what will happen to us? That we may be also what, sir? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the high calling of God that is in Christ, for the glory which shall be revealed in us. You can see the tabernacle of the holiest is the house of glory. That is where the glory is. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. Outer court is for Levites. Whether you like it or not, this order is still being observed. We are walking. We are translating. We are changing from glory to glory. A time will come, I will operate as a Levite. Then I graduate. And then move into the holy place. I will be operating as a priest. Priests are agents of the menorah. Those who use the candlelight to see. They are the servants of God who serve him by night. They stand in the holy place, lifting up their hands in the sanctuary. Pastor, Hebrew church got to the sanctuary. They got there. Instead of them, according to Psalm 134, to lift up their hands, they hang it down. And their knees were already out, were about to be moved out of the way. Because of weakness, they've been standing. Because having done all to stand, you have to stand. You just have to stand and wait for the groom to come out of the most holy to absorb you into the holy place, most holy. Hebrews chapter 1. I will close here. I don't want to disobey my brother. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who has sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, at in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Who being, this person is the brightness of his glory. He is the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. That, Bishop, you give a very clear example. Sir, the word was God. He doesn't need to be glorified. He had glory as long as God breathes. He doesn't have beginning, neither end of days, end of life. The Word has been God, and the Word had glory. The same glory God has is what the Word has. If it's been with God, then it's got the glory of God. For the Bible to say Jesus is the brightness of his glory, it was done for us. For Jesus to come here, they reduce him. We wore him flesh. And God now raised him up as a man, telling us that men, you can attain this height. He came to show us the way. Pastor say, what Adam refused to take is what Jesus finally did. Adam would have been the brightness of God's glory if he would have eaten the tree of life. He would have finished the case. They would just, by the time he has done that, it would be easy to translate men into glory. But when Jesus came, Jesus has to first of all pay for the penalty of sin. And take it out of the way. And suffered. Redeemed the first man's image. And then enact the new order, which is from the beginning. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
So you can see the intention of the Father. It is his glory. God wants man to interact with his glory. He said he has called us unto glory and virtue. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14 says, He has called us to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. This is heavy. This is heavy. This Hebrew church are actually church in the menorah. They're just supposed to inherit the covenant of peace, Pastor. I told you, righteousness and peace. When you get into the holy place, at the end of the veil, are you seeing this veil? This is where you make peace with God. It's called acceptable time. There are three dimensions to God's will. The good will, acceptable, and perfect will. They have come into a place where they will have finished the acceptable work to enter perfection. So Jesus seated on the throne, you see, the whole book of chapter 1 of Hebrew describes ministry as the high priest who is seated on the throne. This high priest, his function as an high priest, his function is not in the holy place. Although he can function in the holy place as the minister of the sanctuary, he comes back from the most holy and stay at the sanctuary to receive sons to glory. That is why I perceive this, that there are two major intercessors to God. Not you. We will do that, and we continue to do that. But without them doing it, we will not finish this thing. The first one is in Romans, Holy Spirit. Then the last one is in Hebrew, Jesus the High Priest. Holy Ghost intercede for Jesus to receive you. And then Jesus will intercede for you, for the Father to get you. By the time you have brought forth almond fruit, you have budded, you have blossomed, you have brought forth fruit, which is called peaceable fruit of righteousness. That is the time the veil will be opened to you through the prayers of Jesus. Jesus is praying beyond. Jesus is praying beyond your house. Angels can do that. There are a whole lot of angels that have been assigned to do many things for you. They are here to help you. But Jesus has a better ministry that is placed upon better promises. If what Jesus has obtained for us is better than what angels have, then what we have, we need to look into it. Sir, if angels desire to look into, we need to look unto it. That's why we have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is my conclusion. I'm a little young student of the scripture. I've been studying Bible for some time, and I've been following it, and the Holy Ghost has been guiding me. And I have come to a place where I began to reason out that the purpose of the book of Hebrew is for perfection. The reason why Jesus appeared on the throne at the beginning, speaking. He's saying some things. The things he's saying are the things of perfection. How the body, by word, should enter. Then he said Jesus should not be refused. In chapter 12. When you are hearing, don't refuse him. If you refuse him, you will not escape. Because Jesus is speaking. A preacher should not just teach what they like. A preacher should teach what Jesus is saying. Even when you are not very accurate, Holy Ghost will prune the waters and better it. He sees your heart. I wasn't speaking as this, I knew Jesus with time had mercy on me. He saw my heart and began to train me. The things, if I go back to some things I've said many years, I'll be ashamed. I'll cover my eyes and say, God. Everybody shout hallelujah. But God is merciful. As long as you have a good heart and a perfect heart, He will take you there. Are you saying, see that you refuse not him that speaketh? If they escape not, who refuse him that speak on earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So where is he speaking from? From which place in heaven? Holy, says Shiva, the most high seat. Where they commission him to be God. When God said, thy throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of your kingdom is righteousness. You love righteousness, you hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
What is this high priest speaking? Let's see Hebrew chapter 1, the last verse. Let's see the last verse. Let's see the last verse. Let's see verse 2, verse 14. Let's see the last verse. But which of the angels said, he at any time sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? But to the angels, are they not ministering spirits sent for to minister for them? Who shall inherit salvation? So salvation is just beyond born again. The word salvation need to be unraveled. Salvation is actually a priestly clothing. A priest should wear it as garment. In fact, salvation is the garment of the high priest. According to Psalm 132, it says, you will clothe thy priest, clothe her priest, let her priest be clothed with salvation. Then our saints will shout for joy. Shout aloud for joy. Meaning saints will come into God's presence. When God raised high priests, he said 10 of them, just 10. If we can have 10 in the world, if we can have 10 of this emissary in the world, high and principally instruments, if we can have them, the world, is it the problem of the world will be dissolved? They are the one the whole earth is waiting for. They have to be led, they have to be trained, they have to be consecrated. Chapter 2. Therefore, because we need to inherit salvation and see how emissaries in the heavenlies who are so high are ministering to you. They are ministering for you for one purpose. Therefore, we need to hope to, we need the more, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we should what, sir? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, if angelic words never moved and they came to pass, and he who is speaking on the throne, God gave him a seat to speak. The purpose for Jesus seated on the throne is to be speaking words that will shake kingdoms, that will remove things that ought to go. The words that Jesus is speaking, it will shake heavens, it will shake earth also. In the Old Testament, it shook earth. And when it shook earth, they were arranged for a while. And then later on, the thing came back, because the things that make earth are in heavens. But this time, around, let's tamper with this arrangement from their origin. Maybe you don't know, principalities and power, might and principalities and power, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, are alignment of evil that must be shaken. Malachi has said it, a priest won't come out except God shake heavens and the earth. If God is not shaking the heavens and the earth in the last days, in the last days, in the last days, we are starting shaking. So that we can be free. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect? You can't escape if you neglect so great. Yeah. Hallelujah. Salvation. And the person who starts speaking it, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that had been. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Pastor, for the fact that they had Jesus, that's what Paul was saying. For the fact that they had Jesus, God brought signs and wonders around them. They were not speaking the same thing that Jesus spoke, but they were witnessing to his resurrection. But God is saying, so that salvation will endure and the word will be heard. These are people who have heard him. They should be witness concerned. They should be witness to. So the Holy Spirit was bearing them witness with miracles, signs and wonders, divers gifts of the Holy Ghost, because that they had Jesus. Can we all read this verse? This is awesome. This is potent. Let's read it. For unto the angels are they not put in subjection? This is a mystery. If you think back again, what is this verse saying, Pastor Shay? That the angels are not as saved as God wants you to be saved. That's so the world to come is a proof that those who will handle it are those who are saved to this uttermost, as the high priest has been consecrated. You can't handle the world to come that we are speaking. We need to speak the world to come. If not, people will not migrate. If we speak the present, because angels has power in the present. Read the book of Revelation. They are the one officiating it. But immediately they got to the world to come, they cease. Because the powers to handle the world to come was not given to them. So what is God doing? God is using this season to raise those who handle the world to come. But you cannot handle the world to come if you are not saved. If you are not a priest. Pastor, all those angels align in priestly order. All of them, they are priests. They are a type of priest. If they are not priests, Jesus won't use their tabernacle. That tabernacle in heaven belongs to them. They've been entering it before Jesus came. That tabernacle in heaven belongs to them. He wants me to prove it to you. Revelation, not the end of the New Testament. I saw an angel standing by an altar, took incense, and with fire from the golden altar, and offered it to God with the prayers of the saint, and the smoke of the prayer ascended up to God. That's an angel. Stood at the altar. He's a priest. That's an angel. Not only that, Holy of Holies, chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. They opened the holiest of all, and they saw seven angels inside. They've been there for a while, and they came out. Hey! It was their tabernacle. The same place Jesus went, they've been using it. But in the world to come, we won't see such tabernacle. I looked at the city, I saw no temple therein. For God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into the holiest of all. Pastor is telling the church that we should all go to where? To the holiest of all. Most holy place. Let's go unto perfection. Let's go into the holiest of all. And how are we going to go into the holiest of all? That is the time we will accost, we will meet the blood of sprinkling. Blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling will begin to work on our conscience. What will the blood of sprinkling do? The blood of sprinkling will animate in our conscience, in our heart, the new and the living way. That's why I call it training. Now, the world trains your head. Heaven trains your heart. Ways are in the heart. So, Pastor, all what God was doing in the wilderness is to train them to enter into his rest. He said, they saw my work for 40 years. Miracle every day. Now, you have never seen miracle. The New Testament church, you don't know signs and wonders. External evidences. That's why they could not believe in Jesus. After Jesus had performed signs and wonders, they asked him, can you show us a sign? And Jesus said, I will confuse you the more. I will show you an invisible sign. The sign of Jonah. You will never see me. I will be buried for 3 days. And that sign will make you stumble. And that is how you will be plucked up from the original olive tree. And I will graft another nation in who will love me. And then will bear fruit unto me. But Paul warned Gentile. He said, do not be wise in your conceit. We said we should be careful. With all this thing the church is doing, miracle today, that one tomorrow, signs and wonders, I'm not saying they are bad, they are good. I am talking motivation. Again, another one again. Everyone said, I'm not motivated. Even if it is miracle, we are there. I thank God, God can still meet us at that point. But when we are tangenting off and preaching another Christ, Bishop Elijah, you know what I used to say to myself, sir? I said to myself, if I don't make it in ministry, I won't mind. I will follow men who through patience and faith and patience inherit the promise. You have to make that personal commitment in your heart, not to look for what others are looking for. Sir, the fruit is perfection. What Jesus is waiting for is precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience until he receive of the early and the latter rain. Can we begin to thank him? Pastor, thank you so much, sir.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.